This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
In the meantime, I'm going to talk a little NFL draft. Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So the thing that we keep talking about for the Packers specifically is the need a wide receiver, and we know this is a wide receiver heavy draft, but also now the Packers look and think, well, they've got four positions they're going to need to pay next year: right tackle, a center, maybe a nose tackle. Defensively speaking, obviously they got rid of Brian Bulaga and they bring in Ricky Wagner, but you're probably going to need another offensive lineman at some point in time. So you tell me, after you guys go through all of this and start to do mock drafts and such, and, you know, are the Packers grabbing a wide receiver, a top-flight wide receiver that's going to help Aaron Rodgers out right away, or do they go in a different direction in your thought?
I think it obviously depends on who's on the board value-wise, but just with how talented this wide receiver class is, I'd find it very hard to believe that that's not going to be your best value at 30, just because it's going to get pushed down. A lot of these guys are going to go in the second round, kind of like we saw last year, where you have A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf going for almost 1,000 yards as rookies and as second rounders. So I think at the back end of the first round, there is going to be some talent on the board that maybe any other year might go middle of the first round at the receiver position.
Let me ask you this, because there's been a lot of talk about maybe the Packers have an offensive lineman. Maybe there's that run early on wide receivers. Is there enough high-end wide receivers to go around early in the draft? And second would be, is if they start to see wide receivers fall off the board, is there an offensive tackle you think that might fall to the Green Bay Packers? Even though that's not their need right here, right now, if you get one of those top guys that fall to you, you can't help but take the best available, you know?
Yeah, I think pipe dream would be someone like Josh Jones out of Houston, because he could even start at guard right away if Rick Wagner is established at right tackle for Billy Turner, who I know they gave a big deal to, but he's just never really been that good of a guard in the NFL. So they were hoping he'd be a little better than he was. So I think Josh Jones from Houston, pass protected really well this past year, only four pressures allowed all season long. I'm not sure where he ends up in this tackle class. He's our fourth-rated tackle at PFF. I could see him going off the board earlier, but if he does slip in this draft, I'd much rather have him than guys like Austin Jackson or Ezra Cleveland. Austin Jackson, USC, Ezra Cleveland, Boise State, who are rumored to go sort of more in the Packers range.
Let's just say that Cincinnati falls on their face and they don't take Joe Burrow. They take another guy from the state. They take like Chase Young or what have you. I mean, does that then throw the board into a mix?
I don't think so, because I think you're going to see pretty much the exact – not the exact, but you're going to see five names in the top five picks no matter really what. And I think it's going to be Burrow, Chase Young, Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, and then one of the offensive tackles are kind of your five that are solidified. They're going to be gone off the board within the first seven picks, and then maybe Justin Herbert in there as well. So I don't really think there's going to be too much like a Cleveland Farrell curveball that we saw last year at the top of this draft.
In the meantime, some other guys that are on the board that I'd love to see fall to the Green Bay Packers. So tell me this, where does Lamb fall, the wide receiver from Oklahoma? Is he like top 15 type of talent, or could you see him fall a little bit further?
It'd be impossible for me to see him fall past like 21 to the Eagles. He's just that good. I mean, any other year, he's a top 10 sort of wide receiver in the draft. I just think there's too many guys now for a team to really go wide receiver in the top 10 with other pressing needs. So He's just a really crafty route runner, has all the sort of little things that you need at the receiver position. He already does extremely well. So I think he'll translate. He'll translate to the NFL pretty quickly. I'd be surprised if he goes. The only way I wouldn't see him going for like 900-plus yards as a rookie is if he goes to just a disastrous offense. But I think any situation where they need a wide receiver and have a quarterback established, I think he's, you know, immediately a number one type of wideout.
The other guy that I had some interest in, I was watching Javon Kinlaw, the kid out of South Carolina. Now, you know, again, I'm not saying that the Packers are going to jump up or anything like that, but if he should happen to fall and he's within range, the Packers do need some additional beef up front. Could that be a guy that could come in and start right away and really help out something that the Packers would have going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'd be a massive upgrade for Dean Lowry. Like, he has the length, has really all the tools you'd want for, you know, a 3-4 defensive end type of player in Mike Pettine's defense, and he'd be the ideal fit for them. But again, he's just too talented, and he's been too productive at South Carolina and has too many physical tools that he's a perfect fit for a lot of defenses in the NFL. So I think a lot of teams are going to be, you know, interested in him. I'd find it difficult to see him slip past, you know, pick number 20 or so with the Jaguars there.
A couple other guys that I really had some interest in, obviously the kid out of Patrick Queen, the kid out of LSU. I'd love to see him fall to the Green Bay Packers. I don't necessarily think that he's an immediate impact player, but I certainly think over a couple of years that that guy's going to develop in the NFL.
Yeah, I think if you go linebacker in the first round this year's class, if you're the Packers, I think that's the guy you want. Like, Patrick Queen, to me, has the athleticism, has the explosiveness to cover ground that you want from a modern linebacker. Maybe not the biggest guy, maybe not going to be a massive upgrade between the tackles and run defense, but that wasn't where they got gashed last year in the 49ers game. It was wide runs. It was the speed to the edge. That's what they need in that linebacking corps, and that's what he brings to the table. So, yeah, if you're, like I said, if you're going to take one, I'd much rather it be him. Kenneth Murray, I have questions about how he'd fare in coverage and that sort of thing. And then the other guys, maybe Zach Bond. He's just more of an edge guy than he is an off-ball linebacker at this point. It might take him a little while to transition.
A lot of different websites starting to say a guy like T. Higgins, the wide receiver out of Clemson. There's a couple of guys towards the bottom of the first round of the draft that could possibly be there. Would T. Higgins be a guy that would come in and be a starter right away, a playmaker on the outside for Aaron Rodgers?
I think so. I think he's kind of what they've been missing in terms of a guy Aaron Rodgers trusts to make plays when he's guarded. And Rodgers hasn't given, you know, guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling and, you know, Geronimo Allison chances to make plays because, well, they don't. They don't have great body control. They don't have great ball skills. T. Higgins has incredible body control, great ball skills, ton of contested catches last year in Clemson's offense. Now, he doesn't have blazing speed, but I think his combine numbers are a little deflated by the fact that he had a hamstring injury going in that he ended up running through, we heard, despite his agent telling him not to. So I think you can throw those out the window to some degree. He plays fast enough on tape and gets open enough that I would definitely take him there at the back end of the first round.
Got to ask you about Jonathan Taylor, right out of our own backyard, the running back out of Wisconsin. Where do you see him going?
I go back and forth on him because as a runner, I mean, he's about as good as anyone in this draft class. He has speed, the size, you know, the tackle breaking ability, the physicality to run between the tackles in the NFL, but gosh, he just drops a ton of passes and it does not look like a natural receiver. And I know they tried to feature him more this year, but he still had a ton of drops. Like, he still was not great in that regard. I can't see him running routes like I could, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like a DeAndre Swift in this draft class. So I think he kind of limits the teams that are going to value him highly. I still think he goes probably back into the second round is where he ends up coming off the board, just because, as a pure runner, he seems like the closest thing in this class to a sure thing.
A couple other guys I wanted to ask you about. Jordan Elliott, he's out of Missouri, the defensive tackle. If he should be there in the second round, if the Packers get that wide receiver in the first round, if he should be there in the second round, is that a guy that you feel that could come in and really be some additional beef up front that could go alongside a guy like Kenny Clark?
Oh, I'd love Jordan Elliott if they can get him in the second round. We have him as a first-round player on our board. He dominated in the SEC last year. I think he kind of got lost because no one really gave a damn about Missouri, and their defense wasn't any good, but he was pretty much unblockable in a handful of games there. So he's not quite the quintessential, like I said, I was talking about 3-4 defensive end. He doesn't have great length or great, you know, size for the defense tackle position, but I think he makes plays. He's more of a playmaker in run defense than he is kind of a gap holder. And I think they could use any sort of playmaking ability along that defensive line outside of Kenny Clark on the interior.
The Packers have been pretty good at finding late round or later offensive linemen. The one guy that I was talking to a buddy of mine, he said, you know, he'd love to see Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia, that offensive tackle. But he would – now, isn't he a left tackle for Georgia, though? Is he played left most of his career?
Wilson was a right tackle there. And
right tackle, much, okay.
I think only played right tackle for them. I don't think – I mean, if you're the Green Bay Packers, I don't think he fits basically what they've scouted at the offensive line position for the last couple of decades. They just drafted a lot better athletes than Isaiah Wilson. He tested out really poorly at the combine. If you think of guys they've hit on, you know, in the middle rounds, TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, David Bakhtiari, all athletic guys, all can move. And I think that's been their MO and why they've had such good pass protecting offensive line. So Isaiah Wilson, I mean, he had like over 8 second three cone and over 5 second shuttle at the combine, which are both really pretty bad times. He's more, I think he might even end up being guard at the NFL level.
Yeah, but it's 6'7". That's a big guard.
Yeah, I mean, 6'7", 350. I think he could still do it with, you know, his pad level, the way he plays. But he's going to struggle to mirror some quicker edge rushers.
Yep, no doubt. Do the Packers get a running back in this draft? The question is, because Aaron Jones, after this season, he's either going to get paid by the Packers or paid by somebody else. And while I hate to see him go, the Packers usually – not a lot of teams value running backs as much as they used to. So do we see the Packers go in a running back direction?
Yeah, I think they have to. I think day three they'll address it similar to when, you know, they drafted Aaron Jones. They'll probably draft a guy in that range again, if not two, like they did that year. So I do think, you know, every few years or every couple years probably should be taking a couple swings at the running back position with – how often they get injured and how, like you mentioned, how little you can find guys on that second contract that you think could be productive.
Always great to talk, Mike. I appreciate it. They can follow your stuff over at Pro Football Focus, and we appreciate you being here, and we'll touch base when the draft is upon us as well, okay?
For sure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. You can follow Mike, by the way, at PFF underscore Mike, at PFF underscore Mike. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.